just her glasses. Now she can see. I once was lost, now I'm found. I once was blind, but amen. What an awesome God we serve, amen. And as we pray for this church family, may we continue to pray for those that are affected in the areas that are working with them and working to bring help and bring salvation to them. So as we look at the scriptures this morning, let's turn to Acts. We've been looking at Acts chapter 9. We've been going through the miraculous things that God has done through His disciples. And I love it. I love to see how amazing our God is. As we look at this morning, Acts chapter 9, we're going to be beginning in verse 36. And it is it's a unique morning. All the preparations and notes that I made for today, I don't know where they're at as of 5 minutes ago. That's okay. God's in control. What God's placed in my heart is, I think, what He wants to deliver us today. And so as we look at Obit to Amazed, I remember that as being the title from the obituary to being amazed. Wouldn't it be totally awesome if we had someone that was so famous and so rich and so powerful that was in our corner? Wouldn't that be amazing? To have folks that are around us, to have someone in our corner that is rich and famous and very, very powerful. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead. Let's see some folks that we would like maybe to have in our life. I don't know if it'll roll. Anybody know who this is? Anybody use Facebook? Anybody use the internet? Anybody have a cell phone? Whoo, praise God. Hands are waving in the balcony. Having somebody in your corner that's famous. Do you believe he's wealthy? Okay, go ahead. Anybody know who this is? Rocky. I like the way he said that too, with attitude. Rocky. Have you seen this guy operate? I mean, Rocky. Wouldn't you like to have him? Is there, you'd probably do some things that you ought not to do. Just say, go ahead and get him, Rocky, right? When I was growing up, I had friends. And my friends were large. And most of them were in charge. One guy that I had was a friend of mine. His name was Mac. And we just called him Big Mac. Because he was big. He was huge. And Big Mac would always tell me, he called me Hank. Hank, you ever get in trouble, man? We like that. Just call me. And I was making sure Mac was around me when I go, and you want to have some? You want to mess with me? Mac, go ahead. Show him up. Powerful. Powerful. Wouldn't it be amazing to have somebody like that in your corner? What else? And that's not you're fired. Somebody powerful, does he have power? He does. What else? Anybody know him? He's a very famous Christian athlete and missionary. His parents go to First Baptist Church, Jacksonville, Florida. They are missionaries. He's a missionary. He stands strong in his faith to God, Tim Tebow. And I admire what he does, but he's very powerful. He's very influential. And he's famous to a lot of folks. What else? Do you know this man? Would you like to have this man in your corner praying for you, supporting you, helping you each and every day? That calls you up and says, hey, I just want to let you know. Or texts you and says, hey, I just want to let you know I'm praying for you. I would personally just like to meet him because of his faith in God and what the man's done and his touch that God's had on his life. But rich and famous and very powerful. What else? Wouldn't you like to have this man? It's rich and famous and powerful. Wouldn't you like to have this man in your corner? Because this man is able to take the sting of death away. This man won the victory over hell, death, and the grave. This man created all things. This man is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This man is who we will stand in front of and give an account for what we have done with him. That's the only man, rich, famous, and powerful, that I want to seek after every day, 24/7. Look, if you would, in verse 36 of Acts chapter 9. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. Now, what did Dorcas do? Dorcas was a seamstress. Do you know anybody that just serves the Lord and they sew clothes and they fix clothes and they fix pants and fix jackets and things as a ministry? Do you know, folks, that was Dorcas. That was Tabitha. That's who she was. She ministered in that fashion. I saw where some churches had put together little dresses that they had made and sent them across the pond just to people and to little girls to have clothes to wear, just pretty little dresses that they had made. And they just gathered together and to do that. What an amazing ministry that is. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick. This was Dorcas or Tabitha. That she was sick and she died. Whom they had washed, they laid her in the upper chamber. This was a custom of their time. In verse 38, and for as much as Lydia was nigh to Joppa and the disciples had heard that Peter was nearby, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them right then. Please come quickly, Peter. Please, we need you now. Don't delay. Let's go. And in verse 39, Peter arose and went with them. And when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by weeping and showing the coats that the garments which Dorcas had made. While she was with them, she had ministered to them and they loved her so much. But now she's died and they wanted to take Peter, who had the power of God, who existed as God's ambassador. But Peter put them all forth. In other words, he sent them out. And then he kneeled down and prayed. Turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. That's a mild understatement. And he gave her his hand, and he helped her, he lifted her up. And when he has called the saints and widows, presented her alive. Now wait a minute. Let's put into perspective. Someone that you love dearly has passed away. Someone that you love very dearly. And you've went down to the funeral home and they brought the body to the funeral home and you may be in the room, the little conference room, and you're in there and they're asking all these questions. Danny's asking you or somebody's asking you all those questions about what you want to do, who you want to sing, who you want to preach. They're asking you all these questions about what you want to put in the obit in the newspaper. They're asking you all this stuff. And you're just overwhelmed because you're grieving. You're hurting on the inside. And then all of a sudden, pew comes in with your dead loved one. Says, hey guys, standing up, not laying down, died. Would that startle, wake you up? You told me earlier that would make him go home and change clothes. I know it would me. You're grieved. You're overwhelmed with all the stuff going on. And all of a sudden, here they come in the room with Tabitha, with Dorcas that is alive, that they know had already died. Wait a minute. Is that a miracle? Can the God that we serve take a mess and make it a miracle? God, there is nothing impossible with God. He called the saints and the widows and presented her alive. Have you ever seen someone that is on their way and their destiny to death, hell, and destruction, and that's their lifestyle, that they're heading straight to hell, and they are without hope, without Christ in their life? Have you ever seen somebody on that directional path and you know that beyond a shadow of a doubt, and all of a sudden somebody came in their path? Someone came in their path and spoke life and spoke truth into their life, and they accepted Christ as their personal Savior, and their sins were forgiven and their lives were radically changed and turned away from their old self-centered, directed toward hell ways, and they begin to live for God. Is that a miracle as well? When a life is changed, and whether they've lived a horrible, bad life or whether they've just lived a life that's been as decent as they could, but yet they've still sinned, they've still lied, they've still stolen things, they've still said things, done things, they still fell short of the glory of God, that they come to know Christ as Savior and their lives are turned around because of Him, because of placing their faith and trust in Him. Is that a miracle as well? Look what happened. Because of the demonstration of what God did through Peter. Okay? Get that. God did through Peter. Peter did not do this of his own. He was commanded and appointed to do this for God. And so God used him to raise Dorcas from the dead for these folks to be a demonstration not only to them but to the town of Joppa. And in verse 42, look what happens when God demonstrates His divine power. And it was known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Did they use internet? No. Did he use cell phones? No. Did he use the newspaper, Fox News, CNN, or anybody else? No. They used word of mouth, and it spread like wildfire. Normally, bad news spreads fast. Amen? But in this case, God took this news and spread throughout Joppa. And what happened? They turn to God Almighty. They turn to Him. Many believed in the Lord. What is it going to take for us, America, to shake us to the point that we turn to God? What is it going to take for us to repent and turn our lives toward a holy God who is very powerful, who is the only God that can change a mess to a miracle? But there's one thing for that to happen. We must obey. For every promise that God has in His holy scriptures, it's not automatic. There is a precis. There is a condition that we must meet for that promise to take place. If my people will turn from their wicked ways, is that a promise? I will. Someone is with sin. You're a Christian and you've fallen away from God. It says, if you will confess and admit your sins, He is faithful. He is just to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Is that a promise? God says, I will be with you. Don't be dismayed, for I am your God. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Don't be dismayed. If I abide in Christ and I bring forth much fruit, because without Him, I can do nothing. What must I do to be saved? I must believe, I must confess, and I must trust Him and lean into Him and surrender my life to Him, to believe in Him, to trust in Him, to place my faith in Him, because He is rich in His blessings. He is rich in what He can do for you. He's famous, and you and I need to make Him known. And He's powerful. Do you get the powerful here? My God can perform miracles. My God can change anything around, but I must be willing to admit it and trust in Him. Let me ask you a question. When you pray, when you have your prayer time, you have your little quiet prayer time where you come to the altar and you pray, do you pray expecting God to hear you and answer you? May not be on your timetable, but I know that God's timetable is perfect. And you can rest assured that when you and I call upon God, something happens. Do you believe that? You and I call upon God, something happens. Does it activate in our life immediately? Probably, but we probably don't recognize it. Christy said a minute ago, God's going to say yes. God's going to say no. God's going to say wait. It's that last word that we have problem with, isn't it? When He says wait. How many times have I saw where God says wait, and now that I look back on it, God did something so big that I understood the reason He said wait was that He could get the most glory out of it. And that's the way He is with us. We must trust Him. Good times and bad times, He wants to talk to us, and He wants us to talk to Him. He must hear us, and He must know our desire to obey Him. Because when we obey Him, the promises take place. Do you know Him? Do you know Him as Lord and Savior? You can fool a lot of people, but you'll never fool God. Have you called upon Him and asked Him into your heart and life to be Savior, to be Lord, that you've trusted Him? Have you done that? This morning, is God calling you to come and to repent and to turn back to Him? What's God asking you to do this morning? Because we don't meet by accident. It's a divine appointment that each of us is here this morning, waiting, listening to see what God wants to do. He's here. Do you hear Him? He's wanting to pour out. He's wanting to pour out His blessings. He's wanting to pour out His Spirit upon us. But sometimes we get too stubborn. We close our ears and say, no, I'm just going to justify that. I'm going to justify this. That's not that bad a sin. That's not. And God's saying, look, if you will just ask me to forgive that and you'd repent and turn away from that, there are so many more blessings that I want to do for you that are beyond what I could even say right now. Whether it's salvation or returning and recommitting your life, I believe God's calling prayer warriors to drop a knee and pray. To ask God. Don't be afraid to ask Him. But don't let Satan hold you back from what he wants to do with you now. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Is everything okay between you and God? If not, He's calling you. I have no doubt. He's calling you to repentance. He's calling on you. Are you ready and prepared to stand before a holy God to give an answer that you know Him? Are you willing to surrender all? Christian, are you willing to surrender all to Him and begin to receive the blessings He has for you? You must faithfully trust Him and obey Him with all your soul. Father in heaven, this invitation, Lord, from You, I pray Your power and Your might. Thy will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand, please, for this invitation? Oh, to Thee.